This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Sue Gabriel, who is the executive director of Beverly Bootstraps. And Sue, first of all, welcome, and it's great to meet you.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, we're going to find out about Beverly Bootstraps and what folks can do about it, and you have a lot of services and things to tell us about. So first, Sue, tell us, what is the overview and what does Beverly Bootstraps do? What's the scope and breadth of it?
Thanks, Bill. Well, we've been here for a long time. We've been here for about 30 years now. And it really originated out of a clear need in the community. Folks were hungry. They were looking for somebody to help them. And they went into one of the local churches and they asked for some help, and that congregation was terrific and responded, and it went from that congregation to a multi-faith effort, and then from there to the full community. And here we are 30 years later, and we are so fortunate to have such support by the community. And we do lots of different things because nobody has the same story when they come through our doors. And it's over the 11 years, it's been really riveting to hear some of the folks and what they're dealing with. And I think if you're not exposed to this kind of work, you sometimes have an image in your mind of what might cause someone to need help. And I can tell you, we've seen just everything that you can ever imagine. And unfortunately, any one of us are maybe just a heartbeat away from needing somebody else's help, which I would also say isn't the worst thing in the world. I actually think that is what community is about, that we help each other. And so what do we do, though, for programming to actually concretely help people? Well, the first thing is, if someone has food insecurity, we feel like that we've got to solve that immediately. And so we do run a number of food assistance programs. What we're known for very well is our food pantry, and we do run that, and we run it so that folks in the community can come in and get fresh produce and protein and good nutritional staples at least every 2 weeks. Some programs, we actually will increase that, especially if there are school-age kids in the summer. But over the years, we've also had to add other programming. We do mobile markets that go out to areas where we have a high concentration of folks that are low income, and they really can benefit from some extra fresh produce and some opportunity to connect with us. We also, in the last several years, have recognized how much we have families who are really, really struggling, and we have children who are hungry. And we just in the last couple of years have added weekend bags for children in our school system because, very sadly, we had a number of children who were coming to school on Mondays and they were so hungry, or they were coming in after a vacation week and, you know, they just can't sit and learn if they're that hungry. So we've stepped in and we've been supporting those kids that are in the elementary school here in Beverly, and we are adding the middle school this coming year. So lots and lots of programming around that food insecurity. Do a little bit of home delivery for people who really can't get to us. So that's a big focus for us because you got to solve that first before someone can even think about doing anything else with their lives. The other thing that we do sort of in what we think of as the basic needs arena is we have case management. So something we want to do with folks is sit down with them and really figure out if you have food insecurity or you have another symptom of financial insecurity, what's going on? And are there ways that we can help you directly, or are there other partners, partner agencies in the community that can help you so that maybe you can get beyond the situation that you're in currently? And so our case managers sit. We do things like rental assistance. If the situation is appropriate, we'll do some rental assistance. Perhaps someone would qualify for SNAP benefits, and they don't know it yet. And we want to help to see if we can get that support for them. Or whatever other support that we can just help them apply for, we want to shore that person up or that family up as much as we can so that they might have the capacity to think about, how do I really make some bigger changes in my situation so that maybe I don't need all this help at some point down the line. And when we can, what we love to do is help. Sometimes all we need to help somebody with is a resume. They just need to spiff up that resume a little bit, have somebody coach them a little bit, and they can get off and they could get into something that pays them a little bit better, and they can be a little more self-sustainable again. Sometimes they need the food pantry every couple of weeks in addition to that job, but then they still can pay their rent and their gas to work or their train fare to work. Sometimes we just need to come up with a sustainability type of a plan with them. Certainly if you're a senior, we're probably not going to track you into our adult education programs. We just may have to come up with a new plan for you to figure out how on that fixed income you're going to be able to survive and still pay your rent or your taxes or your mortgage or whatever it is that you're dealing with, or your medicine costs. If we can, we love to track people into our adult education arena. We have two ways to support people in that. If someone hasn't finished their high school education, then we're going to track them in to the high school equivalency preparation program, and we'll send them off. And they actually have to pass 5 different tests in order to now achieve that high school equivalency. It's called HISET in Massachusetts now. It used to be GED, but it's now called HISET. And so we get them tracked in. We have amazing volunteers and staff that work with them one-on-one and get them ready for those tests. We had 18 graduates this past year, which is really quite amazing because this is not an easy, it's not an easy task for our folks to get in, and it takes a lot of time and effort for them. We also have English language classes because sometimes that is the only barrier for someone who has come into the country. They're very capable of working, but that language barrier is a real issue for them. So that's a lot of our programming. We have some youth programs that additionally that we support. We do have a small after-school program for some of the families that we're working with, because we understand we need to support the entire family. And if we have children and they're really struggling in school, that really, it drags the entire family and also means that they probably will be back looking for services further down the line. So if we can support them early, that's a good thing. And we do things like holiday gift programs. And another program that I love that we're gearing up for is our back to school. We have about 700 backpacks and all the school supplies that go with it, so that these kids are ready to get in there and learn. So lots going on here. And there's a couple other things that I didn't mention, but anyone can go right on our website and see any more details than we might have time to talk about today.
Well, Sue, kind of a bummer. You're the first one to mention back to school this summer that I've heard anyway. But but obviously in a great context, for sure. Hey, I think it's what you've really told a story about the fact that I think there's a very simplistic view out there that we sometimes get is that you're either on some kind of assistance or you're not and you're fine. And that's not the way it is. And you point out the fact that, back years ago, before there was so-called public government assistance, the community did a lot of the work that you just described to me. And it's just great to see that is happening. And so before I follow up on a few other things, I just want you to kind of react to that piece and it's because it's not the water's not either on or off. It's not either hot, boiling hot or ice cold. There's so much in between stuff here, and it's so important that people have this assistance to keep moving up, because it's just it's not always we don't look at it as a ladder sometimes, but that's kind of what it is.
You are spot on, and when we tour people, when we tour people through our building, we talk a lot about that idea that assistance. There's a hard line for where a family or an individual can get that public assistance. And if you even dip a toe outside of that, say your boss says to you, "Hey, I'd love to give you 3 more hours a week." you are now, what happens is you now, if you say yes to that, which on the surface seems like what a great thing, there's a few more dollars in that person's pocket, maybe they can buy diapers for their kids now, but what they jeopardize is all of the, potentially their SNAP benefits go way down, so they don't have the food assistance that they might have had, or if they're on Section 8 housing, that could go away entirely. So it is a very tricky, tricky line right there. And we do serve folks that are getting public assistance for sure. We have plenty of folks that are in that scenario, but our sweet spot actually are people who do not qualify. They're just above that line. They do not qualify for public assistance, and yet there's no way that the job that they have at $14 an hour is going to allow them to be self-sustainable. It takes, in our region, it takes anywhere from that sort of $18 to $20 an hour to just barely pay for your rent and your food. And that's not even counting things like having a car or having some of those other things. And that's for a small family. You know, you add children, that's going to be more. There are actually, if someone's interested, you can go on. There are a few of those calculators online if you want to Google it and see. But it's just really expensive to live here. And we see people all the time who are working hard to try to make it all that budget work for them. But the stressor, especially from housing costs these days, it's just making it so very difficult for folks. And I agree with you. We are so fortunate to have a community that actually cares very much about the people that are here, and that we just see a lot of responsibility taking in this community for our neighbors. I wouldn't live anywhere else because of that generous spirit that is here in Beverly and the North Shore. We see it beyond just Beverly and Manchester. So,
yeah. And another thing that struck me in what you said is that, so you're working, you're not pulling down big time wage, but just getting that train pass that you mentioned might be huge in order to free you up and be able to do, you know, kind of without regard of where that job is that you need to, because you want to make a job decision based on the job and what it means and for your, you know, career and so forward as far as moving forward and for your family. And so just that train pass alone, I can see that could be huge. And obviously, you can't get that every place. All right, we're talking with Sue Gabriel from Beverly Bootstraps, their executive director. Sue, I want you to talk about hunger because, again, to the uninformed, and I'll throw myself in there because I don't know the scope of this really, but I'm familiar with schools, and I know even an example, North Shore Community College did a study a few years ago on their students coming to college, able to come to college, but yet being hungry, and the numbers were staggering on that. So you know what you're doing on hunger, but I think a lot of us, you know, if you travel around the North Shore, driving down Cabot Street in Beverly, you're around different places, all the restaurants, all the grocery stores, you know, and so on. But yet there's hunger out there, and with the assistance as well. But so I guess, again, we're talking about that so-called sweet spot kind of person that you were talking about earlier, where that is prevalent, right?
We see lots of different ways that hunger presents. And what I would say is hunger is always a symptom of economic insecurity. And what's going on is there are other bills that are taking precedence over going to the grocery store. And yes, you are absolutely correct. North Shore Community College has identified a lot of need in college-age kids, but it's not unique to them. We've been having a lot of conversations with other colleges in the area. We actually, in the fall, are starting up a college-specific time period for our food pantry so that those students can feel comfortable to come with their peers versus just sort of with everybody else. They're certainly welcome to come other times, but we recognize it as such a big need, and we're partnering with some other agencies to actually bring a mobile market to North Shore Community College once a month. We've been doing that this is our second year doing that, because we're neighbors, we've got students over there from our service area, And as a collaborative, we're able to address it. And I know even over in Salem, there's a group over there trying to help the kids at Salem State. But we see it in many different ways. You know, we will see a family, and the children are eating okay, but, you know, mom or dad is not at all, because they are trying to keep their children fed, and they're skipping meals. And that can be very detrimental. I don't know if you've ever missed lunch. I have. And I can tell you, I'm just not a nice person to be around. My patience level goes down. I feel more tired. And I'm lucky. I eat on a very regular basis. And I just think about somebody who's skipping meals for multiple days at a time and how much harder everything is because they don't have that nutrition. And certainly for our school-age kids, this is why we responded so quickly. The teachers and nurses were reporting behavioral issues. There was no way these children could sit and focus on what was being taught in the classroom because they were so hungry that was just overshadowing everything else that was being asked of them. And I think it's unfair to have expectations of people that they can do this or this or this or this if their basic needs are not being met. And so ideally we live in a society, this is my opinion, where, you know, we just sort of said everybody just should have at least 2 squares a day, maybe. Unfortunately, that's not the case always. And it's a good thing that we are here to support the gap. In my mind, this is a little sad, but I've been here over a decade. The amount of food that we are moving now it's astronomical. We have become a small grocery store. We had over 8,000 visits to our food pantry in FY18, and we haven't got all the numbers out yet, but we've probably added close to 1,000 more visits last year. We're moving over 400,000 pounds of food a year. It's a lot of food for an agency to be moving, and yet we need to. And we're thrilled that the community continues to support us to make sure that people are eating.
Well, Sue, I know you looked at me and thought I didn't miss a meal, but I'm just kidding you. But no, I know what you're saying. And when I mentioned the North Shore Community College thing, that I did not mean to leave out elementary schools and so on. And the thing about this is that you may have, think of all the elementary schools all around the North Shore, and it could be any one of those schools where there, no matter what the community is, where there is a student, several students, or in certainly some schools, lots of students in those classrooms, pick a second grade or whatever, that did not come in with the meal and the nutrition that they really needed to make it through the day. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You can't assume that if a community has resources, that there's nobody in that community that is not struggling with this. And interestingly, as now having done this work for a long time, a lot of times it's even a bigger challenge in a community that has a lot of resources. Because if you can remember back to middle school or fifth grade or fourth grade, I think as a child, it's really hard to admit that maybe you're different than your peers. And so we find that sometimes in a community that has more resources, it's even harder for people to identify and ask for the help that they need. We know in the high school setting that kids don't want to always identify themselves as needing the free and reduced lunch because of the fear of stigma of their peers. The good thing is now a lot of the schools have put in a way so that really nobody can know as easily. But we do see a big drop off once they get to high school that they won't apply and they won't use those resources, which is a shame because, again, it's just one of those things that as human beings, we just need to eat in order to be good at everything else.
Sue, tell me about the thrift store. So what is at the thrift store how do you get product into the thrift store and what is there for people to buy?
So our thrift shop is, I always say, it's the best treasure hunt on the North Shore. It is a fabulous place to see if there's something that's very unique that you just didn't even know you needed. It's a great resource for some lovely, lovely clothing. I buy many, many things there. I'm one of their best customers because I can always find something terrific at a much lower cost. So in one way, we're a program. We have case managers, as I mentioned before. If we have folks that come in and they really need clothing or household goods, we are able to write a voucher and send them up there, and they can choose what works for them, and yet they do not need to pay for it. And I just mentioned, I do a lot of shopping there for anyone who's on a budget. And with college kids at my house, we're on a budget. You can go in and you can find good quality goods, but not necessarily be paying full retail price. And that's a real help for anyone's budget. But the other piece of it and the importance to the agency is it's our second largest revenue source. Our first is straight out donations of philanthropy and charity. But our second is any of the net profit that we have from that thrift shop comes back right into the programs, and we're able to do more because of all of the sales that we have up there.
Yeah. Now the other piece here, so tell us about how that's one way people can help. So clearly opening up the checkbook, writing a check, sending it in, online too, is that an option?
Absolutely.
Okay, online.
Yeah.
We'll link to your website, by the way, so
great.
We'll have all that up there on the website. So we'll do some of that. What about volunteers or maybe even more about the money that people would donate and where – you've already told us basically where it goes, but any other thoughts on that?
Sure. So first of all, we can't do what we do without our volunteers. We have over 250 volunteers every year that come in and do everything from putting food on the shelves in the food pantry, putting food out at a mobile market site, helping us in our education arena to tutor somebody who's trying to pass and get their high set. We had a wonderful volunteer come in and just help us with some administrative tasks. We have people who sit at our front desk and answer our telephones. We have so many people who help us in so many ways. And we calculate that every year it's worth about $500,000 to us. And we would not be able to do everything we do if we had to hire people for all of the work that's there. Oh, and of course, in thrift, too, people do a lot of work to help us tag the clothing and sort through things. And we're so grateful. And they come in all shapes and sizes, all ages and stages, sometimes in singles, sometimes in, you know, we have a couple of sisters that come in together, or groups from a church or from an organization or from a company. Loads and loads of help here, and that is hugely necessary for us. So if someone has an interest, you can go right on our website and fill out a volunteer application form. The other ways to help: money. It does take a lot to run all the programs that we run. We are a business just like every other business. We have to turn the lights on. We have to make sure that the heating and the cooling system is working. We have all the bills for all the people here that it takes to run an organization such as ours, which is heavy services. And that is an enormously helpful way that people can help us without question. But there are other ways, too. If you feel like running a food drive for us, go right online. We've got the top 10. If you'd prefer to do toiletries, they're very expensive. Diapers are always a request for us, but so are things like shampoo and deodorant and things like that, very expensive for folks. Or if you want to, you can do a drive that's more for our thrift shop. Or clean out your closet. We want your good stuff. So, you know, bring us that sweater that you bought and you only wore it once and it just doesn't quite work for you. Well, somebody else would love it. Leave the other stuff at one of the other collection places, but bring us your good stuff. We love your good stuff.
It's fine. I was just about to follow up on that kind on that line that you were just talking about, because I actually have a pile of clothes that I do want to get rid of, but I will not burden you, Beverly Bootstraps, with those. But on the other hand, let's say I'm somebody and I have a nice little wardrobe with some nice shirts and pants or other clothing. Where do they go to drop them off?
So figure out when we're open, which is most days, Monday through Saturday, the thrift shop's open. And ideally, we have some double doors up there and a donation area. Just bring them right in. We have volunteers and we have staff ready to take that from you. And all we ask is please make sure it's washed and it's in good condition when you bring it. And if you have furniture, small furniture that you think that folks might be interested in, you can actually contact us. We might pick it up if you have enough, several pieces, and you think that we can resell that. That's a great thing too. We're now taking things like video games and albums. We take books. We take household goods. So if you have some pretty glassware that you're just not using any longer, we would love that. Lamps that are working, those kinds of. About the only things that we don't take are things like real electronic type things. A humidifier, we might not want that. Things like that. But you can go right on our website. It has a great list of what we can take, what we cannot take, and some guidelines and all the contact information if you think you might have something that we can pick up for you.
Gotcha. All right, Sue, is there anything else that you would like to close with that maybe I didn't ask you about that you want to put into some context, you want to correct me on or whatever? No, I'm just kidding. But anything else to share with us about Beverly Bootstraps and all of the work that you're doing here on the North Shore?
I think the only thing that I would just leave with is I think the most gratifying piece of my job always is to see the generosity of the community towards the other people who live right as their neighbors. And I think I said it once, I would never live anywhere else because I've never lived in a community that seems to care so deeply about each other. And if there's nothing else that anybody takes away from this interview, I hope it's that. Just appreciate that we live in a generous, great community that cares for each other. And we can't do the work without the community, so we're grateful. And thank you very much for spending the time with us.
Sounds great. Well, Sue, thanks you for all your time and all the work that you do and all the people that are associated with Beverly Bootstraps and the work being done here. So that's it. Sue Gabriel with us, the executive director of Beverly Bootstraps. I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.